Ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, there has been so much trouble in this world. So much heartache, broken people, hurting people, bound people, sick people, people filled with anxiety and fear, people with great needs, desperate people all around the world. There are people who need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Well, me and Jimmy know it. The world needs Jesus. I'll tell you, Jesus is the answer for this old world. How desperately they need Jesus. John chapter 12, verse 20 through 24 tells us this. Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Now get this. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, this is great. Let's go and minister to these people. I mean, these people, they actually want me to come." Not everybody was glad to see Jesus, you know what I'm saying? But these people wanted him to come, and yet they didn't go. Instead, Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." The Greeks, they wanted to see Jesus, and I'm certain they needed Jesus. But Jesus didn't go to them, and it seems kind of strange to us unless we understand the plan of God. Jesus says the hour has come that the Son of Man will be glorified. He's speaking of his death and resurrection. He was telling them that it was time for him to go. Amen. But then he goes on and he talks about how that this grain of wheat, if it abides alone, I mean, if it doesn't die, it abides alone. It's just one. But if it dies, it's going to reproduce itself many times. And here's what we need to understand. What the spiritual truth that Jesus is conveying here is that he had to die to reproduce himself in us. He was the firstborn among many brethren. See, Jesus, though he was the Son of God, listen, he was fully God, but he was also fully man. And he could only be one place at a time in a physical body. But his church, that's you and me, the body of Christ, we're all around the world. You need to understand that this was the plan of God, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. He reveals this spiritual truth that he would multiply himself, that he would live in the life of every believer. You know, you need to understand that Jesus certainly can reveal himself to anybody. He did it to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. But you just need to know this, that that's not normally the way that Jesus reaches people. You see, we need to understand Jesus uses us. The only Jesus that most people are ever going to see is you and me. Now, that may sound strange to some of you, but I want you to see in the Word of God how clear this is. You see, he's chosen to reach people through his church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, "The church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Now, this is spiritual truth. The Word of God is truth. And you need to hear this morning, whether we understand it all or not. We need to know that this is truth. The church is his body. Listen, this isn't just some strange theoretical thing. The church is his body, the fullness of him. It's not just a little dab. the fullness of him that fills all in all around the world. The church is his body. You see, Jesus is in this world just as much as when he walked this earth, but he is in his people. And we, the church, we need to know that the world needs Jesus. The world needs the Jesus and you and me. I know that's kind of overwhelming and kind of a scary thing to think about, but we need to understand the truths of Scripture, that this is the plan of God. The church, in spite of all of its faults and flaws, you know, the church gets a lot of criticism today and a lot of it's justified, but I want to tell you, in spite of our faults and flaws, the church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him that fills all in all. See, don't look for Jesus in a long white robe. You're probably never going to have that kind of a visitation on earth. Few do. But we need to realize that Jesus is alive and well on planet earth in his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And probably the only way you are going to see Jesus is in some brothers and sisters. Amen. This side of heaven, that's the only way you're going to see Jesus is in some brothers and sisters. I mean, if you need a word of encouragement, Jesus is probably going to use one of your brothers and sisters to come and speak that word of encouragement to you. If you're hurting and grieving in some way, your heart is broken, Jesus is probably going to use somebody to come and minister to you, to be Jesus to you. And we need to understand that in this world with the lost, we got to be Jesus to them. That's the answer. They need Jesus. And how are they going to get Jesus if we don't take him to them? See, we can't play church. This isn't a religious club. The church is his body. We're here for a purpose. That's to be Jesus to this old world. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us, but he wants us as his people to go to this world and help people, minister to people, meet the needs of people. Now, I'm going to tell you, all of us together, all around the world, we are the body of Christ. And together, we all can be Jesus to the world. You can't meet everybody's needs. You can't do everything. Nobody has every gift. I've heard some preachers talk about how they can operate in all the gifts. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says one has this gift and one has this gift and another has this gift. And I see it in the body of Christ. There's so many different types of gifts. And we need to understand, yes, he has called all of us to be Jesus in this world. But we can't meet every need. But the need that you can't meet, somebody else can. But here's what we need to get this morning. What need can I meet? What person, who can I help? I got to tell you, as a pastor, I know that I have a lot of shortcomings. I mean, people say, you know, you're not like some pastors. I'm like, I know. You need to talk to the Lord about it. I already know. I don't have all the gifts. I can't do everything. I admit to you, I can't do everything. It takes all of us. But here's what we need to remember is that there's a place for every single one of us in the body of Christ. There's things that we can do. And there are needs that we can meet. Every born again believer has a place in the body of Christ in being a part of us being Jesus to the world. He lives in us by his Spirit. Jesus lives in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. If you are born again, listen, John 14 and 17 Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He told the disciples, the one who is with you, he's talking about himself, the one who is with you, he will be in you. This wasn't just for the disciples. This is for all of us. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Jesus, through the person of the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. You need to know this. You need to believe this, that Jesus does live inside of you. How can we be Jesus to anybody? Because Jesus is in us. You yourself, I'm going to say this several times, because I know the enemy works overtime at discouraging people. You yourself, no, you can't be Jesus to everybody, but you can be Jesus to somebody. You can help somebody. You can make a difference in somebody's life. Now, you know, we're supposed to be learning and growing, becoming more and more like Jesus. Jesus says that a disciple, when he's fully trained, that he'll be just like the teacher. And so, yes, we should always be learning and growing in the Lord, but it is always a process. None of us has arrived yet, but we know that's his plan. Romans 8:29 says, we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. In Galatians 4:19, Paul says, I'm laboring in birth until Christ is formed in you. Now, some of you ladies could probably tell us how intense that is, but he's talking about laboring in birth to see Christ formed in that group of people. And I just want you to understand that that's the goal. That's what God wants to do in us. Yes, ultimately, he wants to conform us into the image of his son. But none of us is there yet. But we still represent him. As Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We got to be Jesus in this world. He's not here physically, but he's in every believer by his Spirit. He lives inside of us. I think too many believers kind of stick Jesus in the back room of their life. You know, the religious corner. Not when I'm at work, not when I'm out doing business, maybe not even with my family, but you know, if I need him, I know he's there like an idol. I pull him down off the shelf when I need him. I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't take up residence in our heart to sit in the back room somewhere. Jesus wants to rule and reign in our life. That's why we call him Lord. He will take over your life. That's an abundant life, is when you let Jesus really live big inside of you. You turn your life over to him and let him have his way in your life. And sometimes, you know what? He'll clean some of the, he'll do a little remodeling. You know, he's going to tear out some things that don't belong. But you let Jesus have his way. And I want to tell you, Jesus will use you. He wants to use us. John 14, 12. I just have to tell, I have to say this pretty often, it seems like, but I didn't write these scriptures. Y'all all understand that, right? I mean, you can say, think what you want about the rest of what I say, but what he says, what his book says, is absolute truth. And this is what he says in John 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. We need to believe. We need to believe Jesus and believe what Jesus says. And he says that he's going to work through us. Amen. Each and every one of us, God can use us. He's that big. He's that good. You know, Jesus also said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. You see, he's given us the Holy Spirit so that we would have power to be used of him. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to us just to make us feel good. The Holy Spirit was given to us to empower us for ministry so that we could help people and minister to people. And we all know that in this old world, people would scoff at us if we said, yeah, I'm here to be Jesus in this world. People would just make fun of that. And here's the thing, we all know that in our own self, well, no, we can't be Jesus. We're too weak. We're too full of faults and flaws. And am I just talking about me? Some of the rest of you, you know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, if you don't, ask your spouse. They'll tell you. Here's what Jesus says. If we're going to really let Jesus live in us. Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Deny himself. You see, our old self, that old man, that old nature, it can't be Jesus to anybody. We can't just do what we want. We got to take up the cross daily. That's the plan, the purpose of God in your life, that daily we decide. We're not just going to live for ourselves, but we're going to let God use us today. Let God work through us. Let Jesus work through us, because the world needs Jesus. You know what we need in this world? More Jesus. Less me. John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord. And there came a time when Jesus' ministry began to increase. And John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And you know what? We all need to understand that. If we want to be Jesus to the world, that means we need more of Jesus in our life and less of us. And let Jesus truly have his way in us, and he will minister to people through us. Amen. Self just gets in the way. If we allow it, it'll rise up and it'll keep the Jesus in us from showing. See, if we're self-seeking, if we're putting ourselves ahead of others, not only are we not going to be Jesus to anybody, we're not really going to experience the abundant life that he has for us. Galatians 2:20, this is a verse of scripture that every Christian ought to know. I mean, you ought to mark it in your Bible. You ought to memorize it. You ought to get it down inside of you until you can quote it, until you understand what it means, and you're living it out in your life, because it's that powerful. He starts off, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Did you know that if you're a believer, you've been crucified with Christ? Paul's not talking about getting up on the cross with Jesus, but he's talking about that old sinful nature. This is a spiritual truth, that old sinful nature was put on the cross and crucified with Jesus. You say, oh no, Pastor, it's alive and well. I want to tell you, the more that you get a hold of this truth, the more you'll see it in your life, that I don't live that way anymore. I'm letting the new man live. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, we got to get these truths down inside of us so we can live them out, so we can be Jesus in this world. This is what water baptism is a symbol of, is that old man died and we've been raised to live a new life. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's no longer I who... Are you a Christian? That's a really low bar for calling yourself a Christian in America. Here's what it means to be a Christian. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. It's Christ that lives in me. How can we be Jesus to the world? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Do you really believe that Jesus lives in you? I think we need to let him out a little more often. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the Jesus that lives inside of us, we need to let him be seen more on the outside. We do that every day by loving people, helping people, being kind to people, especially the ones that don't deserve it. Especially the ones that don't deserve it. Especially the ones that don't deserve it. If you only love and help and are kind to people that deserve it, it's not going to be very many. And you are passing judgment on people. And I want to tell you, the ones that don't deserve it, they are the ones that need it the most. They need Jesus. And you see, we let Jesus live through us. We let Jesus work through us when we love people that way. The last part of that verse, Galatians 2:20 says, "And the life which I now live in the flesh," this life I'm living in this fleshly body, "I live by faith in the Son of God." We're doing this by faith. We know we can't do it on our own. Our faith is in Jesus, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, what wonderful truths. He loved us so much. He gave himself for us. In John 15:5, Jesus says, "Without me, you can do nothing." Without Jesus, no, we can't really make a difference in somebody's life and in their eternity. It takes Jesus working in and through our lives. And certainly we all know that, but we live in this world that's messed up and hurting and desperate need. They need Jesus, and we need to be Jesus to them. I'm going to say this again. It's all of us. We all have a part in the body of Christ in being used of God. None of us can meet every need. I got to tell you, I've experienced this many times as a pastor, and I kind of learned it the hard way, that I can't meet every person's need. I can't be everything to everybody, and you can't either. Don't let the enemy guilt trip you, but you also need to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you that there are some that you can meet. There are some needs and some people that God wants to use you to help. If we're going to be Jesus to anybody, we need to hear our Father. Jesus said that he said what he heard the Father say. He did what he heard the Father, or what he saw the Father do. And Jesus often went out to a deserted place to pray. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to get alone with his heavenly Father, how much more do you and I? And I have to tell you, you see, I'm not talking about that you're going to be hearing audible voices. I'm talking about that when we've been with our Father, that he will speak to our heart. He will show us when there's something that we need to do. Or maybe there's a person that he wants you to say something to. But we'll sense that, we'll know that in our heart, in our spirit, we can follow the voice of our Father. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to be Jesus to anybody, you need to hear the voice of your Father. There's so many voices in this world. We've got to tune in to his voice so we know what he wants us to do. We've got to be listening. If we're going to be Jesus to this world, we need to see like Jesus sees. How you see things makes a difference. In Matthew 6:22-23, Jesus says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Jesus is not talking about your eyesight. You need some new glasses. He's talking about your perspective and the way that you look at things. If you look at things the wrong way, it's going to bring darkness in your whole life. You got to see things the way Jesus sees things. You see, if you see things with doubt and unbelief, a negative attitude, critical and judgmental, your life's going to be full of darkness. But if you see things the way that Jesus sees them, nothing is impossible to him who believes. With God, all things are possible. See, Jesus sees things differently. He doesn't get caught up in the attitudes of the world. He sees things from a different perspective. John chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Now, we all know that this man and his parents sinned. But Jesus is making it very clear, there's no blame on them. This didn't happen to them because of some sin. And you see, this is the attitude of the world with all the problems and all the things that are wrong in our world. Somebody is to blame. Even in the church world, it's always about blaming somebody else. This is the theme of politics in our generation. Blame somebody. Blame doesn't fix anything. Blame didn't heal this man. But Jesus saw things differently. He didn't just see, oh, these people, these sinners. Listen, the attitude of a lot of Christians would be, well, they just got what they deserve. Jesus didn't see it that way. He said, this happened for the glory of God, that the works of God might be revealed. What if we saw problems that way? What if we saw sickness? What if we saw bondage as an opportunity for somebody's life to be changed and for God to be glorified? See, we need to see things the way Jesus sees things. Peter and John on the way to the temple one day to pray, and there's a lame man begging for money. And Peter says, "Look at us." And he says to the man, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he grabbed the man's hand and pulled him up, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. I just want you to know, you need to see that God can do a miracle. You need to know that God can use you to make a difference in somebody's life. And what happens with us a lot of the time is that we pass by on the other side. I'm talking about the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan. They saw a man who had been robbed and left for dead, and they just passed by on the other side. And sometimes we're like that. We just walk by real quick. I just want you to know, there are people that you can be Jesus to. You can't be Jesus to everybody, but what if we just are Jesus to the people that are in need and God puts right in our path? Jesus looked at people with love and compassion, whether it was just one or a crowd. The story of the rich young ruler. This man comes to Jesus wanting to know how he can have eternal life. In Mark 10, 21, it says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He tells him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, come, take up your cross and follow me." The man went away sad because he loved his money. But get this, Jesus loved him. He looked at him and he loved him. We need to know that when we're talking to people. Even the ones who reject Jesus, they walk away. We should love them. When Jesus saw the multitudes, Mark 9:36, When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He says to the disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest, send laborers into his harvest. The world needs Jesus, but the laborers are few. So many today want to judge people for their sin. Did you know Jesus didn't look at people with judgment for their sin? He looked at them with forgiveness. Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. He certainly saw the broken vows, the immorality, but he looked past that and he saw a woman in need who had a thirst in her soul. That's the way Jesus sees things. You see, we need to learn to see things the way Jesus does. Not with judgment and condemnation, but to look past that. You see, the drug addict, you see somebody that Jesus wants to be free. You see a rebellious teenager. You see past that to the hurt in their heart that God wants to heal them. We need to see the needy, the broken, the hurting, the lost as the ones that we've been sent to. The whole don't need a physician. Who said that? Jesus. Somebody answer out loud because somebody might not know. That's right. Jesus said it. Jesus said the whole don't need a physician. And I want you to know that we, as the people of God, we've been sent to the broken, to the hurting, to the needy. Those are the ones that we need to be Jesus to. Sure, of course we want to be Jesus to one another, but we need to be Jesus to the lost world. If you're going to be Jesus to anybody, you need to know that Jesus has sent you. You see, Jesus saw himself as someone who the Father had sent. In Luke 4:18, he says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And you need to see yourself as somebody Jesus sent. In John 20:21, he said, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also am sending you. We are to represent him. As the Apostle Paul said, we are his ambassadors. We've been commissioned. That's what the Great Commission is. He commissioned us to go. He sent us. Right. Let's just think about this. If Jesus is in you, you might just be the answer to somebody's prayer. Right. Somebody that's going through a hard time. And who knows but that God will send you their way. But if you're going to be Jesus to anybody, you're going to have to know that Jesus is in you. 1 John 4:4, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I'm telling you, if you're born again, Jesus is in you. And we need to learn to talk a little more like Jesus. Did you know that Jesus didn't complain? He didn't criticize. He didn't say negative things. Instead, he spoke faith-filled words. He spoke words of forgiveness and compassion. He said things like, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He spoke words of encouragement. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. His words were spirit and life. And we need to realize that if we're going to be Jesus to people, our words are really important. We're going to be held accountable for our words. But I tell you that a lot of the time, if we're going to be used by the Lord, it's going to be through the words that we say. And if you're going to be like Jesus, well, we have to love like Jesus. In fact, this is the one thing that sets us apart. You can go to church. You can have a bumper sticker on your car. You can carry a Bible. And you can talk about Jesus. And all people will know about you is that you're religious. Jesus says, this is how they will know that you are one of his disciples. If you love one another, if we love like he loves, they'll know we're really one of his disciples. In 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us that you can have faith that can move mountains, but without love, it doesn't matter. You can be the greatest speaker. I mean, you know all the right things to say, but without love, you're just a bunch of noise. 1 Corinthians 13, that's right. You can have all knowledge, but without love, doesn't matter. We got to get this part right. This is the most important thing. If we're going to be like Jesus, we got to love like Jesus. And last, if we're going to be like Jesus to anybody, we got to do what Jesus would do. In that situation, what would Jesus do? There's an old book called In His Steps, and the theme of the book is, what would Jesus do? A few years back, that theme was promoted really big. I mean, there were people wearing t-shirts that said WWJD on it, and they had little wristbands, and everybody, you know, was talking about it. But the only problem with that was it seemed like it got promoted a whole lot more than it got practiced. But in reality, it is a great message that we need to apply in our own heart and life. If we're going to be like Jesus, well, in this situation, what would Jesus do? We got to try to do the things that Jesus would do. We've been sent to a lost and hurting world. And I just encourage you. You see, a father comes to Jesus. His little daughter is sick. What does Jesus do? He goes to pray for her. We can do that. A man hopelessly bound by demons, crazy man running around in the tombs. They couldn't even bind him with chains. Do you know somebody that's got an addiction? Did you know Jesus can set them free? And maybe Jesus wants to use you to pray for them, to speak the word over them, for them to be free. I'm just telling you, we can be Jesus. Somebody that's filled with anxiety and fear, you can comfort them with your words. You know, when you look at all the problems in our world and you consider all that is wrong, it can be overwhelming. We feel so insignificant, and what does it matter? I want to encourage you. Meet that one need. Try to be Jesus to somebody. Little boy on the seashore. There's tens of thousands of starfish that have washed up on the shore, and they're all gonna die. So this little boy, he picks up one after another, throwing it back into the ocean. And a man walks by, he sees this, and he says, what are you doing? He says, I'm throwing these back in the ocean so they won't die. He said, there's tens of thousands of them. It doesn't matter if you throw a few back. He picked up another one. He said, it matters to this one. He picked up another one. He said, it matters. I just want you to understand, you look at all the stuff in our world, can you do anything? Yes, you can meet one need. You can help one person. You can be Jesus to somebody. Somebody that's dealing with grief, maybe they'll feel the arms of Jesus when you put your arms around them. Somebody that's sick, maybe they'll feel the hand of Jesus when you lay your hand on them and pray for them. Jesus said, believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Maybe there's somebody that's lost in sin And they'll be able to hear his love and redemption when you tell them God loves you and he forgives you. See, church, we can do this. We can be Jesus to somebody. There's a really old song I want to share with you this morning. I think it just speaks to us today. Find that she is gone. Now he's spending his first Sunday sitting in the pew alone. There are whispers all around him. His heart breaks in two. He's wondering who will reach out and help him make it through. Who will be Jesus to him? Show the love that restores him again. He doesn't need a judge, he needs a friend. Who will be Jesus to him? Has a reputation like the woman at the well. The only love she ever knew was the kind she buys and sells. But her thirsty heart is certain for a love that will be true. The Savior cries for her to see himself in me and you. Who will be to her? Who'll show the love that's commanded in his word? Will she see in us the mighty God we serve? Who will be Jesus to her? Wounded people everywhere, who'll show the love that restores them again? Well, they do not need a judge, they need a friend. Who will be Jesus to them? Who will be Jesus? Church, we can do this. We can be Jesus to somebody. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to pray.